A few other things that are happening in our community that we're excited about is every year the Mustard Seed has a coldest night of the year, and this year it's going to be February 22nd. So really it's a fundraiser for what the Mustard Seed does, and it's also a walk. So we are sending an English team to this, and we encourage you to get involved. So there's a QR code in the bulletin. You can feel free to scan that. And you can get involved in different ways. We'd love if you participated with that team and actually went on the walk. You kind of walk around that neighborhood, and it's kind of an experiential walk. So we encourage you to get involved. You can sign up through the QR code, or you can also just donate and give to this fundraising event with the Mustard Seed. So check out your bulletin, and you can scan that. Also, we are looking for more musicians. So if you are musically gifted and you want to serve in worship in some capacity, whether it's an instrument or you can sing, whatever giftings you have, you can contact Ken Chan. His email is ken.chan@ecac.ca, or you can just talk to him as well. And he would love to have a conversation with you, even if you're just curious about getting involved with worship. And finally, I wanted to, as we announced last week, we're going to have a new Sunday school series called Praying the Psalms. And it's really going to be this opportunity where it's not just we sit down and learn about the Psalms, but it's really we learn from the Psalms, and they act as our teacher. So if you want to help out with that, ILSA is looking for people who are interested in helping, and you don't have to be a gifted teacher to sign up for this. It really is an opportunity where you can facilitate and just learn from the psalm itself. So if you want to help out with that or you have any questions, you can talk to ILSA Lee or email her about that. So that's all I have in the way of announcements. So let's pray today, and then we'll jump into our sermon this morning. So God, we thank you for your goodness and for your presence and your love for us. Right now, we just center our hearts on you, and we look to you, and maybe in the midst of a busy week, definitely a cold week, and we just look to you. We pray today that you would encounter our hearts, that you would move in this space. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, church, what are some things that define us? What defines you? I think a lot of us, we define ourselves with things that we're really good at, maybe things that we're really bad at. I'm pretty proud that I feel like I'm good at a lot of things. One thing that I'm really bad at, and I really do not want to be defined by this, is I'm a really bad bowler. Do you guys, like, with the pins? I'm horrible. It's embarrassing. The last time I bowled, it was with a group of pastors for a district event. And you guys, you know pastors, they're so sweet and stuff like that. And I was on this bowling team, and I was doing so bad. Like, every single roll was, like, straight to the gutter. And you know what pastors are like. There is this one pastor who I was bowling with, and each time I went, she was just like, "Oh, it's okay, Tim. It's," and I was like, "Don't patronize me." It made it so much worse. Oh, I'm awful at bowling. What defines us? And often it is things that we're really good at and we're proud of, or things that we're maybe bad at and you don't want to be defined by. But can we be defined by more than just the things that we do? Today we're continuing on in our series of 2 Timothy. And really, as we've been kind of looking over this book, kind of the main idea that we've been drawing from 2 Timothy is, okay, we've received this good news from Jesus. We've received this gift from Jesus, this life and this grace. Now, what are we going to do with it? How is it going to change us? And in our passage today, Paul is really focusing on Timothy, not just what he does, but I think who he actually is as a Christian and as a Christian leader. And it's really important, and this is what we're going to be looking at today, that being a Christian isn't about things that we do, but it's really about who we are and who we are becoming. And I think Paul here, he's really teaching Timothy and the church not just like a list of things they have to do, but it's how to become who we're actually called to be. As I try to disciple people and lead people in that, I always try to remind them that discipleship isn't something we do, but it's who we are. It's who we're becoming. And that's so important for us to remember. And it's so important for us to be aware of who we are and where we're at personally. Sorry, this isn't working, Alex. If you could press the next slide, thank you. Augustine, he has a great quote. He says, "How can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? Grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know thee." And that's super important. And again, when I lead discipleship, I think it's so important. Yes, the primary goal is to know God, but in order to know God, I think we actually need to know ourselves as well. That if we're far from ourselves, how are we going to know God? Because he isn't just leading us to do a list of things, but to become someone that he is calling us to be. So let me start off. We're going to start in verse 14 here. And I'll kind of read our passage today in a few different chunks. So verse 14, it starts like this. "Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to fight about words. This is useless and leads to the ruin of those who listen. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. Avoid irreverent and empty speech, since those who engage in it will produce even more godlessness, and their teaching will spread like gangrene. Hymenaeus and Philetus are among them. They have departed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and are ruining the faith of some." So Paul here, he's specifically talking about these false teachers in that day, and he starts off by saying, don't fight. Don't argue, don't engage in that kind of stuff. Specifically, he says, don't fight about words. That's so relevant for the church, right? Don't fight about words. Don't get involved in that stuff. Instead, present yourself, right? Don't present the list of things that you've done, but present yourself as someone who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. And he says to avoid empty speech. And specifically, you hear calling out the false teachings of that day. But really, Paul here, I think, is looking at Timothy and the church, and he's encouraging us to stay focused. To stay focused on the truth and to stay focused on what really matters. And he's looking at Timothy and the church, and he's saying, don't get too caught up with the false teachers and with the distractions and with all that is happening. And he's concerned with how they're going to deal with that. And Paul is really encouraging them not to get too caught up in all of the distractions, not to get too drawn in to it all. He's really encouraging them to stay focused on what matters. And this is so good for us, isn't it? It's so good for us. Stay focused on what really matters. There is so much that's always going on around us, isn't there? There's so many distractions constantly surrounding us. There is so much to debate about, isn't there? There's so much to get upset about and to focus on. There's so much to get drawn into. Stay focused. Stay focused on what actually matters. Don't get too drawn into these things, but stay focused on Christ and what truly matters. Well, let me read the next verse, verse 19. If I could get that up on the slide. It says this, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, bearing this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are his,' and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness." Well, as we talk about distractions constantly surrounding us, friends, doesn't it feel like our world and our lives can be very chaotic? Maybe like we don't actually have a firm foundation all of the time. maybe even in our spiritual life. Like maybe in your own faith, it sometimes feels kind of unstable. And maybe even in church life, it can feel kind of chaotic or unstable. And it doesn't feel like we have a firm foundation. And this is a beautiful reminder from Paul. The firm foundation is that the Lord knows those who are his. What a beautiful reminder of our firm foundation and really our core identity. That we are God's people, that he's got us, that we are loved by him. And he lists two things here, right? He says the Lord knows those who are his. And second is really let everyone who follows God then turn away from wickedness. Well, this first idea, God knows those who are his. Those who are in Christ, God knows you and he's got you. He's holding you. He's got you. That's our firm foundation. When everything feels chaotic and feels like it's falling apart, that's our foundation. And that's what keeps us grounded. Friends, whatever is going on, we can know that we are his. And this is really who we are. This is our identity, right? We are loved by God. He knows us. This is our identity. It's not that God has this checklist and it's like, once you've done enough, then you are his. But we are his even while we were still sinners. This is not something we can earn, but when we accept the free gift of grace, we are his. And as I reflect on this idea, I'm reminded of a story in the Gospels that's probably familiar to us. It's the story of Jesus' baptism. And in the story of Jesus' baptism, if you know it, at the beginning of the Gospels, it's this beautiful story where Jesus, he goes up to his cousin named John, and he's baptizing other people, and Jesus says, I want to be baptized as well. And it's this amazing scene where Jesus is baptized, and the heavens open up, and God the Father speaks, and the Spirit descends like a dove. And it says this. This is what God says to Jesus. And this is the next slide. God the Father looks at Jesus and says, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And what's significant about this, and I think what's so significant, is that this happens before Jesus has done anything. This happens before Jesus has done anything. So this at the very beginning of the Gospels, before Jesus even starts his ministry, this is what God says to him. Before he's had the opportunity to earn it and to actually complete his mission and his task, this is what God the Father looks at him and says, that he loves him and that he's well pleased. It's not something that we can earn. Church, this is a phrase that God says to each of us. But this is not a phrase he says to us once we have done enough. This isn't something he says to us once we've served enough, or once we've volunteered in the church enough, once we've served him properly, once we're a perfect Christian. No, he says this to us, to each of us, while we are still sinners, when we don't deserve it. We can't earn God's love. And before we do anything, he looks at you and he says that you are loved. And that kind of love that is undeserved, it changes us, right? We are his. It's not because of anything we have done, but because of who he is, and that is our identity. Church, discipleship is not something we do. It's who we are in Christ. And the second thing that was in that verse, he says, let everyone who follows God turn away from wickedness. Right? We are God's, and he loves us before we have done anything. We are his. So turn away from wickedness. Turn away from your sin. Be changed by God and changed by his love. Live a different life. How do we do this? How are we changed and transformed? I don't think it's through being more moralistic and having a set of things we have to do or can't do. I don't think we're actually changed or transformed through shame or thinking that God is going to shame us if we don't do something right. I don't think we're transformed by trying to be the perfect person all the time. I really think that we are transformed and live a changed life when we truly encounter this radical and undeserved love of God. It's not shame that changes us, but it's His great love. Right? We don't live a good life as Christians because we're trying to make it to heaven. We live a good life because we have been given this gift of grace, and it's undeserved, and it starts to change us. This, friends, is what changes us, and this is what causes us to live differently from those around us. Paul isn't really just saying, don't sin anymore, though that is important, but he's really encouraging us, I think, to live in the fullness and the grace and the life of Jesus, to live a life steeped in the goodness of our God, and that changes us. It transforms not just what we do, but who we actually are, as he calls us to be our true self in Christ. God knows that you are his. So turn away from your sin and live this new life in his love. That's our firm foundation. Well, let me keep reading our passage here this morning. And we'll go to verse 20 here. It says this, "Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, but reject foolish and ignorant disputes, because you know that they breed quarrels. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Perhaps God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Then they may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will." So there's two words here, and Alex, if you could go back to that first slide there of this, starting in verse 20 there. There's two words there that are really interesting and really important, I think, to understand this. The two words are flee and pursue. Flee and pursue, and they're really dramatic words, actually, in the Greek. That's why they're so interesting. Flee, it literally means escape for your life. Like, run as hard as you can, escaping for your life. That's what the word flee means there. It's the same word they would have used, like, for Moses fleeing from Pharaoh, or the Holy Family fleeing from Herod. It's like, run for your life. And the word pursue is the exact opposite of that. It's the exact opposite, but it's just as dramatic. It's like, run towards something as if your life depends on it. These are really dramatic words. So what are we supposed to flee if we're going to be followers of Jesus? And it says this, youthful passions. Flee from youthful passions. And what does that mean? I think that that's intentionally broad for us. I think that's intentionally very general. Ultimately, I think, what is immature within us? What is broken within us? What is not in line with God that's within us? We're supposed to run for our lives away from these things. Youthful passions. I think obviously this means our sexual brokenness. I think also our desire for money, our desire for power. Flee from these things. Flee from these things because God loves us and he sees that these youthful desires and passions, that they destroy us. And that is not God's desire for our lives. Flee from youthful passions. I think that also can mean our emotional brokenness or maybe immaturity. Have we taken time to grow and mature? Maybe to heal from emotional wounds that we have? in the busyness of all of our lives? Do we maybe need to actually slow down from the rush and the busyness of life to address our heart hurts? Do we actually maybe need to slow down as followers of Jesus and acknowledge that we're not always okay and we're not always strong, and actually take time to process those heart hurts we might have? Here, I think what Paul is specifically even talking about, that part of us that is quick to get upset, that is quick to fight. How are we healing and how are we growing as disciples of Jesus, but also just as people, growing in maturity and in conduct? And obviously this is the first part, flee from these things. But being a disciple, of course, it isn't just running from the bad things, but running towards what is good. So here, what does Paul say we are supposed to pursue and run towards, like our life depends on it? And he kind of lists some things. He says righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And later in this passage, he says to be gentle and patient. Notice this isn't a list of things to do. Isn't that important? Paul is not giving us a list of things to do. He's giving us characteristics of who we should become. Discipleship, it's not about what we do, but it's who we are and who we are becoming. Paul is teaching us who to be. It's a list of attributes. It's not about what we do. And remember, pursue this. Run as if your life depends on it. Become a person like this. And obviously, Paul is pointing us here to the characteristics of Jesus himself. Do what is right. Have faith. Be loving and sacrificial. Be peaceful and have peace. Be gentle and patient. This is the road to becoming like Jesus and to following him. We shouldn't, though, as I've been saying, we shouldn't turn this, I don't think, into a list of things to do. But this is a journey. This is a journey of becoming more like Jesus. As we pursue Christ and we're shaped by different things that we surround ourselves with, right? We're shaped by our church community, by your disciple group, by the scriptures, by spiritual practices, by these things. And this is a journey of becoming a disciple of Jesus. It's not about the list of things that we do, but it's who we are. That is discipleship. So friends, today the question for our application, the question is not, what does God want us to do? The question is not, what does God want us to do? But today, let's ask ourselves, who does God want me to become? It's not just about what you do, but who you are that matters. This journey of growing as a disciple of Jesus. And on this topic, an idea of running from our youthful passions and running towards these characteristics of Christ himself, and really focusing on this idea of it's not about a list of things to do, but it's who we are. I think it's helpful to look at some temptations that can keep us from becoming who God truly wants us to be. If we could get the next slide. In his book, sorry, one more, thank you. Oh, the one with the temptations, if it's there, if it's not. Yeah, that one, thank you. Peter Scazzaro, in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, it's a great book, highly recommend. He lists three temptations, really on this topic, that can keep us from becoming our true self in Christ. Let me read these out, and you'll see how much they resonate, I hope, with all of us, I can imagine. Three temptations that can keep us from truly finding our true selves in Christ. And it's believing these things: I am what I do, I am what I have, and I am what others think. How relevant are those for each of us? How tempting are those three things in each of our lives, that we would find our identity in those things rather than who we are in Christ? Rather than recognizing that before we've done a single thing, God looks at you and says that you are loved and that you are his. We need to break our addiction to doing things, and we need to learn to be with Jesus. We need to learn to leave our false self and embrace our true self in Christ. And there's different ways to do this. Even in this book from Peter Scazzaro, he talks about embracing silence. And I think that's an important step for us. In the midst of the busyness of our life and surrounding ourselves with what can I do next, how are we slowing down and embracing silence? How are we actually looking inward as we step out of our busyness? How are we living life meaningfully and purposefully in our community? And how are we even stepping out of our comfort zone, stepping out of our distractions, stepping out of all the things around us that can numb us, stepping out of that and pursuing God in ways that might make us feel uncomfortable? Church, I'm not that concerned with what we do. It's not the core of who we are. I'm not that concerned with the list of things that you have done, but I think who you are becoming is so much more important. And that's something we should be focused on. Who am I becoming? Who am I right now in Christ? Discipleship, it isn't something we do. It's who we're becoming. It's more about our identity than a list of things we should do. And who we're becoming, it's deeper than just who we are on a Sunday morning, isn't it? I get it. On a Sunday morning, we all try to look perfect, you know? I do it too. I get it. We all try to put on a mask, look good in front of everyone. Not who are you on a Sunday morning, but who are you actually? In your day-to-day, right? When you're driving to work, when you first wake up, maybe when you come home, when you're with your friends, with your family, in the day-to-day, who are you? Not just on your best days, also not on your worst days, but not just on a Sunday morning, not just when you're volunteering at church, but who are you becoming in the day-to-day of your life? Church, I think it's so important as disciples of Jesus to slow down. It's not all about what can we do. It's not about piling more on our to-do list. It's about who you are becoming. That is the first question we should ask as disciples of Jesus. So we can ask, God, who do you want me to become? Who am I becoming? And how can you transform my day-to-day life that I can become a true disciple of you? And I think the first step for us in the midst of the busyness of life is to slow down, to let go of our desires, of the temptations that were listed here, to let go of the desire to be known for what we do or what we have or what others know us for, to let go of those things and to sit quietly at the feet of our Lord. It's not about what we do, but who we are becoming. So I want to give us some time with this idea, and I really want to just slow us down even right now, that we can just sit with Jesus for a moment here. So Jesus, right now, we just invite you into this space. We thank you that you don't give us value based on what we can accomplish, but you say we are loved even when we're imperfect sinners and our life is a mess. Jesus, right now we slow down and we just sit in your presence. Jesus, as we follow you, would you help us to know that our worth does not come from the things that we do? That our to-do lists are not what's important. But Jesus, you want to shape us into who you call us to be. So would you shape us? Would we know our true identity in you today, Jesus? We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to give us some time to process this and to do this in a community as well. So If you've been with us before, we like to have some time to actually discuss this as a community. So you can find some people around you and hear some discussion questions. If they're helpful, you can use them, but you don't have to. Just some time to process what we've been learning. If you see someone sitting alone, feel free to invite them into your group. So I'll give you some time for this, and then we'll have one last song in about 10 minutes.